This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where a woman and her son discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we have the MNBA coaches shuffle, or should I say the male coaches shuffle. On the WNBA, the women are leading the way yet again. Our movie review, Double Teamed, is too many. Our game, Twinning. And finally, as LeBron might say, it's game time.
It's a good one. It's a good sneak preview there. All right, let's just get into it and let's boogie.
Welcome to episode 27 of Family Court Vision. It is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, June 30th. How are you, Jack?
I am doing well. How are you, Mom?
I'm good. What's new?
I am getting over a bit of a cold. I don't know if you can hear that in my voice.
Oh, no.
It is not COVID. I got tested, so I know that for sure.
Where did you get a cold? I haven't had a cold in like 2 years.
I don't know. It's, you know, starting to go out more. I am wearing my mask in all the places I'm supposed to wear my mask, but, you know, I have been taking public transportation a little more, so wouldn't be surprised if something there. But, yeah.
Gotta wash those hands.
Yeah. So Monday was pretty rough. Yesterday was better. And then today I'm almost all the way better. But that's pretty much all that's new with me. What about you?
Well, I wrote down notes. So one thing is your cousin Jordan visited us on Monday.
How was that?
It was good. He got a new tattoo. He lives in one of the boroughs of New York City, but his tattoo place, because he went to college near his, I mean, he went to college in Stony Brook, which is in Suffolk County, and his tattoo place is out there. So he stopped by here. He brought us Taco Bell for lunch.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And he, it turns out, was at the Liberty game last Tuesday.
Was he?
Yeah, which was Pride Night, and he got a Pride t-shirt.
What the heck?
And he gave it to me.
Oh, that, okay, there we go.
Right?
That's very nice.
He texted me from there. I'm like, why am I not there with you? What the heck?
Which was that, Tuesday night?
I think it was Tuesday. I can't remember exactly.
That's yesterday.
No, it was last week.
Oh, last Tuesday. Was that one of the Sky games?
I don't know. Whatever day it was, they were giving out Pride t-shirts. It was Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. I think that was one of the Sky games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one thing. That was fun.
Cool.
Another thing is, as I am a school district employee, I am officially on vacation. That's right.
Yeah.
For the next 9 weeks.
What are you going to do with all your time?
I do work about once a week. So tomorrow I go to work, but you know, that's extra. I am having a friend's day on Friday with a couple of friends of mine. We're not 100% sure what we're doing, but we may be going out to the Riverhead Aquarium.
Ooh.
Tossing around ideas.
Nice.
Anything else new with you before I unveil something that I'm going to show you and you're going to be so excited about?
I don't think anything else is new with me. I'm excited for this unveiling. Before we recorded, you said, I'm so excited, I have to show you something. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our producer, Aaron, isn't here. You said you're disappointed about that because you wanted to show him, too.
Yes, I thought he would be excited for you about this.
So I don't know what this is, but...
It's a gift for you.
Okay, and I'm going to be receiving it over Zoom?
Yeah, we'll keep it here until we see you. This will be incentive for you to visit us.
Okay.
Dad said, are you going to show him now or wait until he comes to see us? And I'm like, oh, I'm showing him now. So I've been, you know, this time of year is when I typically am out shopping for costumes and props for the OP, old people show that I'm in each summer.
Yep, we talked about that.
I was at the TJ Maxx this week, and you know, TJ Maxx has everything.
Yeah, they do.
So as I was walking through, I may have said this before, but very quickly in the OP show, we're doing You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. I'm playing Peppermint Patty. We're like 7 or 8 years old in this show. Like, obviously we're adults, but like the characters are 7 or 8. And also Peppermint Patty is, I always knew her to be a tomboy, but she's apparently the jock of the group, which obviously typecasting.
Right. I mean, you have a basketball podcast, so.
Right, right. Nobody else does in the cast. Yep. So,
yep.
So I want to have various like sports balls and things with me in each scene, because Peppermint Patty's not technically not even a character in this show, so I don't have a lot to do, so I might as well draw some attention by having some sports things. So I was in the kids section looking for some kids sports balls, and I found this.
Wow.
So I don't know if you... Oh my God, I just broke the desk. Don't tell Maddie. Oh my God, I just broke his desk.
Literally broke it?
I'll fix it.
Okay.
I'll fix it later. Okay. But this is more important.
What she is showing me is a LeBron James Space Jam action figure.
That's right. So you can see that he's got arms and he has a giant Acme mallet. That's this thing over here. We'll post a picture of this on social media on the Instagram for you. He also has these like things coming out of his back with these.
Kind of looks like Doc Ock.
Yes, he does look like Doc Ock. And then, like, these little basketballs and things fit into there.
Oh, wow. It's like this whole, like, spider arm machination kind of thing.
Listen.
You want to play me in basketball?
That...
That's what I'm talking about.
That's his voice right there.
It's his voice. And I got this for you, Jack.
Thank you, Mom. This is...
Aren't you so excited?
I am very excited. This is great. Yes. I'll be able to display it all...
We did it!
There we go. I'll be able to display it all winter and... all summer and fall. And then once the season starts, then I'll have to hide it away somewhere so it doesn't jinx them.
Maddie and I said that you are going to have to get like a big box or something to put all your LeBron stuff in.
Yeah, and lock it away. But that is very nice. Thank you for finding that, thinking of me, and purchasing that. I'm excited to come receive it.
Perfect, right?
Yes. Okay. Very nice. Thank you. The other last bit of personal news for both of us is on Saturday, we are both going to our first New York Liberty game.
Pew, 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 pew!
Yes.
I'm so excited!
So, neither of us have been to a Liberty game before, so we are going out to the Barclays Center Saturday for their game against Washington. So I'm very excited. It's going to be fun.
I got a mani-pedi today, and the color that I chose for my toes is copper. Because copper is one of the like trim colors for the Liberties.
Yeah,
so.
I do like seafoam green and copper. So very nice.
I'm gonna be like not cosplaying, but wearing my gear.
That's right.
So excited.
Very nice. All right, let's get into our first segment of the day: sports news of the week.
Sports overall.
Well, all basketball. All basketball this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Just maybe not all professional basketball this week.
That's right. So the big bombshell, we talked about this before, how pretty much all of the Syracuse women's basketball team enrolled themselves in the portal.
That's right.
And we were like, what the heck is going on at Syracuse? And everyone at Syracuse was like, what? No, it's fine. It's what? I don't know what.
And then we found out what the heck is going on at Syracuse.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Because The Athletic did an investigative report on it.
Yep.
And because they did that report, initially Syracuse was like, you know, if people have a problem, they should report it. And nobody's reported anything. And now they're like, we're actually going to hire an outside group to just look at this and see what they think.
Yes. So this was a piece written for The Athletic by Chantel Jennings, who does writes a lot about women's basketball, both for the WNBA and college levels. She's a great reporter. And so this huge piece came out about it and specifically about the coach of the women's basketball team. Forgive me, I forgot to write down his name. But a bunch of stuff about him. you know, allegations being made about comments that he made and things that, you know, were said and done in practices and games and locker rooms and inappropriate touching and inappropriate comments and, you know, pushing people past their physical limits, that sort of thing.
Quentin Hillsman.
And
he's a flashy character.
Flashy character. According to one former player, obviously all the players are anonymous, but according to one former player, he repeatedly would go in the locker room and say, I'm the star.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and he said things like, I'll effing end you, things like that. But also, because there's always got to be controversy, there are some alumni who are supporting him.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean that the people who have accused him of things are incorrect. You know, not everyone behaves the same way with every person.
And I will say this. If you're a big name alum from Syracuse, you know, whether you played in the WNBA or overseas or didn't continue your career, but are, you know, one of these bigger names that people care about what you have to say about your former coach, that probably means that you were a star player on that team and you may have been treated with a different level of behavior than somebody who's maybe mostly on the bench. Not saying that that is necessarily the case. I'm sure star players, there may be star players that were some of those that, you know, were part of this report. But yeah, like you said, just because you didn't experience something doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I look forward to hearing more about this.
Yeah, I meant to say this sort of at the beginning of the episode, but this story, along with maybe three or four others that we're going to talk about today, highlight a very disheartening day in basketball for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past couple of days, I think there have been a lot of, for varying reasons, unfortunately, disheartening news all across the sport. So, hopefully that investigation turns up that things were not as bad as this report makes it seem, because, you know, hopefully they weren't, but I would assume that that would not be the case. And, all right, NBA news, of course, playoffs are ongoing. Both the conference finals series are well underway. One of them could be over tonight, and, you know, by the time this episode comes out, everything we talk about will be old news. But we will start over in the East with the Bucks and the Hawks. The Hawks have, again, for the third straight series, been overplaying their expectations. The series is currently tied 2-2. In the third game, Trae Young came down actually on a referee's foot and hurt his foot, and he had to sit out for game four with a bruised bone in his foot. Just, you know, add it to the long list of major stars who have missed time in these playoffs. And then just last night, very, very scary. Giannis of the Bucks went down in the middle of the third quarter. It was gruesome. The video was tough to watch. They initially reported as a hyperextended knee. He had to be supported as he walked off the court, and there was fear that it could be much worse. Just a couple hours ago, there was a report that there was no structural damage done. He's still doubtful for the next game, but
yes, no timetable yet for his return.
Right. But
is Trae Young back?
Trae Young, I believe, I'm not sure if there's an official status for him for tomorrow night. But I the general feeling around the league is like he'll probably be ready, because it was a game time decision for game four. So probably with an extra 48 hours, people assume that he would be ready for the next game. But very, very scary with Giannis. Mm-hmm. We hope that it really is no structural damage. Hopefully he only misses a game or two and is able to come back and play. But it's just one thing after another with these playoffs. It's just, it's going to end up, whoever's the healthiest is just going to end up winning.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. So we'll keep our eye on that. That's been a very back and forth series, and obviously it got scarier as the series went on with those two stars going down with injuries. But we'll see where that goes. Clippers and Suns, we said, I think we talked right before game three last time. So Chris Paul did come back from health and safety protocols. Kawhi Leonard is still out with a knee injury. There's really no news on that. We don't even know what the injury is. So the assumption is he's probably out for at least the rest of the series, probably the rest of the season. But I mean, who knows with Kawhi? The series. Go ahead.
Did you know that Ty Lue, that's the Clippers coach?
Yeah.
Ty Lue's record is 10-2 as far as elimination games go. You've been a fan of Ty Lue for some time.
I have been a fan of Ty Lue for some time. I actually wrote down Ty Lue deserves his damn respect. Because Ty Lue, of course, I was a big fan of his because he coached LeBron in Cleveland for 3.5 years. You know, when he was with Cleveland, they went to 3 consecutive finals, you know, championship series, including one, winning one of them. And the one that they won is considered one of the greatest finals ever. They came back from 3-1. That's part of why his record in elimination games is so good. And then LeBron went to the Lakers in free agency. Ty Lue, you know, the Cavaliers roster was just completely wiped out. And he was left with basically nothing. He coached for about 10 games. They were not good. And Cleveland fired him because Cleveland is a terrible, poorly run franchise. I have no problem saying that. And then last year, he was up for the Lakers gig. And apparently, he was not chosen because he was asking for too much money. The Lakers did not hire him because he, in his entire head coaching career, had never missed the finals, had won a championship, should be considered one of the best coaches in the league, wanted, you know, to be making more than, you know, just your average first-time head coach. And the Lakers said, no, we're not going to do that. And it's hard to criticize that now because obviously they came away with a championship last year, but I was unbelievably pissed off. Because he had the greatest player of all time on his team. And LeBron obviously deserves a lot of credit for what Cleveland was able to do. But since that time, LeBron has only been out of the first round once, you know? So LeBron, it's not just LeBron. He can't do it alone. The coach has to do something. And Ty Lue is proving it again this year. He should be considered a top 5 head coach at minimum in the league. And everybody in the league should be giving him whatever the hell he wants. To have him come coach their team, and the Clippers are lucky to have him. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry, I'm getting really pissed off.
Wow.
But he is a black head coach who was given no credit for his accomplishments, and he's now proving again that he is exactly where he should be, coaching a really good team in the conference finals, 2 wins away from getting to another finals.
Well, good. Good for him for standing his ground and saying what he wants.
So there you go.
So there you go.
So the Suns were up 3-1. Clippers won the next game, so it's a 3-2 game, a 3-2 series now. Game 5 is tonight. I mean, game, what is that? Game 6 is tonight. Yeah, game 6 is tonight in LA. So we'll see how that goes. More disheartening stuff. Coaching hires. Rick Carlisle, we talked about last time, stepped down from his Mavericks head coaching job. He then went and took the Indiana head coaching job. Something is weird with that to me.
Why would he step down from one and just go to the other?
Right. And especially because Dallas seems like the much better job right now. You're coaching, you know, probably the best young player in the game in Luka Doncic. You know, they made the playoffs this year. Indiana did not, or Indiana made the play in. It doesn't make sense to me. Rick Carlisle has coached in Indiana before. When he was a player, he played in Boston, and Larry Bird is involved with the Pacers, so there's that connection there. But there's something weird, because we also talked about last week that the GM stepped down also. So something happened in Dallas.
What's going on in Dallas?
Yeah, I don't think we have the full story on everything there. So that's
Jason Kidd's taking over for him with the Mavs.
Yes, he is.
Jason Kidd. All right, I'm a little all over the place with this part of the conversation because I just want to say, so the Lakers are filling Jason Kidd's assistant coach spot with David Fizdale.
Yes, that's correct. Just announced today.
You retweeted that and you wrote, great move, love it. And I have nothing against that move.
Uh-huh.
But overall, when we're looking at all of these positions, what people keep saying is that women aren't getting head coaching jobs because they're not getting assistant coaching jobs. So we had Jason Kidd's open, so his is being filled with a man. So now we have a couple others open or potentially open, depending on who gets hired where. So, you know, it would be a good time to, instead of just put on a show and interview Becky Hammon and pretend like she has a shot, just so that you can have good PR for that, to actually hire a woman. I realize she has an assistant coaching job, but, you know, there are other women who are named for these spots as well. Hire more women for the assistant coaching spots so that they can show you that they're capable of doing what they're doing. You know, we've talked about this before that, you know, there just aren't, when there's cronyism within an organization, then people who aren't in that favored group of people don't ever have a chance to show what they can do. So it's time to get some women into these assistant coaching jobs. I'm not saying they shouldn't be in the head coach jobs as well, but let's get some women into these so that we can really show what they can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great point. Now, the Jason Kidd hire in Dallas, I have multiple problems with. Jason Kidd, first of all, Jason Kidd has had two head coaching jobs, one in New York and one in Milwaukee. Both teams he failed at. He did not do a good job at. So there is no proof so far that Jason Kidd is a good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he has ties to Dallas. He played a big part of his career there. He won a championship there. So, like, I get why that would happen. But, you know, there's all of that evidence. And also, something that's going to go along with the Portland hire, Jason Kidd has a bit of a, shall we put it in a nice way, troubled past with women, specifically his spouse. There were well-known stories about domestic abuse and assault and violence claims and, you know, court battles and things like that against him. Which I didn't know until this just happened and this all came to light. But like when it did happen, I know that that was well known. Mm-hmm. So he should not have had an assistant coaching job in Los Angeles, and he shouldn't have this job either, especially when we're talking about women who deserve these opportunities. And we're going to continue to hire men, but not only men who have committed acts of violence or assault against women.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with Chauncey Billups being hired in Portland.
That's correct.
Chauncey Billups in the late 90s had an incident along with other NBA players. You know, there were allegations. Something was settled out of court, I believe, but of a sexual assault that occurred. Mm-hmm. And Chauncey Billups was, you know, got this Portland job anyway, and there are many people rightfully criticizing this. They had a terrible PR moment in the press conference. There was a reporter that asked him about this, and instead of him, and I mean, he shouldn't have had this job in the first place, but instead of him answering that and trying to say whatever he's going to say, the PR people for Portland said, we're not going to talk about this. So that just made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that Portland was the one that it seemed like Becky Hammon had the best shot at. It was widely reported that she had made it to the final step of whatever. And it was like, she's the, you know, the woman that's made it the farthest in any head coaching search. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, you just put that out there to say, oh, you know, we interviewed her. We weren't actually ever going to hire her, but here's our little attempt at diversity here.
Yeah.
So listen, is it possible that Becky Hammon is not a great interviewer? Is it possible that Becky Hammon you know, says the wrong things or maybe would not make a great head coach, yes. But I have a hard time believing that somebody who was a professional basketball player, a point guard, which make the best coaches very often for a very long time, somebody who has been an assistant coach for almost a decade now, specifically in the San Antonio system under one of the best head coaches of all time, is now the lead assistant in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Do I think that she, you know, do I think that there's the off chance that she could be a bad hire? No, I do not.
Right.
So,
right.
There's problems with all of that.
Listen, not to, you know, not to get into areas outside of sports, but I think a lot of us have seen interviews on TV where someone was maybe not a good interviewer and still got the job. So, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
But so Billups was an assistant with the Clippers and Ime Udoka was an assistant with the Nets. So those are a couple of spots that are now open, assistant spots open. Mm-hmm. So let's go. Come on, girls. Get them in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole Portland thing has been a double disaster because Damian Lillard, their star player, who, again, something was weird in Portland because apparently he wanted Jason Kidd at first. And then Jason Kidd pulled his name out of there and everybody was like, what's that? And then we found out, oh, he probably thought he was getting the Dallas job and eventually did. Mm-hmm. So then my thought was like, Damian knew that Jason Kidd wasn't going to get this job. So he was going to say that he wants Jason Kidd so that when he doesn't get the job, he has a reason to request a trade to get out of there for, you know, to blame his organization. Because Damian Lillard has this whole, BS loyal thing where he's like, I'm the most loyal player. I've never asked for a trade. I've never left in free agency. Portland's my home. And then he keeps getting bounced out of the playoffs and he realizes, maybe I need to go team up with a better team. Mm-hmm. So I need an excuse. I need a PR excuse to get me out of here so that I'm not requesting
a trade. He just posted something like that on social media.
Yeah. Then people were criticizing him for the Billups hire because of all the stuff that we just talked about, right, saying, you're the star player. We know you had big influence on who got hired. You know, why didn't you not let this happen? And he said, I didn't know about this stuff. I'm not sure if that's true. I could believe it. I mean, he was, you know, he's only a few years older than me. So, you know, when that incident happened, like, I'm sure he wasn't actually paying attention to the news. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I didn't know about this until it then resurfaced. So I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that he should be getting blamed for that. But I do think, because Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports then put out a story of like, you know, all this stuff, you know, the playoffs and all of this PR stuff surrounding the coach could be what pushes Damian Lillard out. Like, that's just Damian Lillard wanting out to go win, but trying to find a PR thing that he can blame it on.
Right, since he's so loyal.
Right. So it's not, I didn't request it. I had no choice. I mean, it's the organization. Right. It's, you know, I wanted to stay here, but.
Right.
So, more disheartening stuff. I think there are three head coaching spots left.
Yes. Wizards, Pelicans, and Magic.
Okay.
And who'd we talk about? Walton? He's staying for at least another year.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
He had the exact same record 2 years in a row. Did you know that?
Yeah, and it sucked.
Yeah.
And, okay, listen, they haven't made the playoffs. He didn't make the playoffs with the Lakers, and he has allegations against him. Why does he have a head coaching job? It makes no sense.
All right. Take a breath, Jack. Take a breath.
Sorry.
I'll tell you something cute that you didn't know.
Okay.
I was looking at the mock draft information.
Okay.
And within the first round, several people have mock drafts up, so I was looking at them. And in the first round, for I think all of the ones I looked at, there are three different players whose first name is Jalen.
Let's see if I can name them.
Oh, no, I didn't write their last names down.
Oh, okay.
Suggs.
Suggs is one of them, yes.
That's the only one I remember.
Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, and Jalen. Now I can't remember the last one. It's another short, simple name. I don't know. But yeah, two of them are projected to go in the top four picks, I think. Two of those Jalen's.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I guess whatever year this was of having babies, I guess it's 2000 right, something.
Right. Everybody your age is Jack, so.
Yeah, Jalen was the popular name then.
Jalen Green?
So, is that one? Yes. Did I say Green? I think I said Suggs
Green. Jalen Green, Suggs, and those are two that are up high.
And then the guy from Duke, I think, is the other one.
Let me see. All right, talk about the next thing while I look for this.
Okay. Some better news than what we've been talking about so far. Carmelo Anthony was just announced today, won the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. This is the first time this award has been given out, and it's going to be given out every year to a specific player that has done a lot of work on social justice. You know, obviously Kareem did a lot of that in his own time, and so it's his award named after him, and he's involved in the money and giving it out. The reasons why Carmelo received this award this year, he created the Social Change Fund with Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul, which works on social and economic justice issues facing Black communities. He was also part of a campaign to make Juneteenth a national holiday, which then did happen or is in the process of happening.
It is a federal holiday.
He was also big in leading the Trailblazers Racial Injustice Initiative, which provided more than $200,000 in funding to organizations fighting systemic racism. And with this award, he wins $100,000 to give to his organization of choice, which he's giving to the Portland Art Museum's Black Arts and Experiences Initiative.
So, nice.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Jalen Johnson.
Johnson of Duke.
And then there's also a Jaden.
Don't know the last name.
Springer.
Jaden Springer. Okay.
And then I just found out there are two named Trey.
Trey? I don't know either. I mean, Trey Young is already in the league, but.
Trey Mann.
Oh, Trey Mann. And
then Trey Murphy the third, which makes sense because if you're the third, that's why you get the nickname Trey.
Trey.
So. So that makes sense.
So there we go. Yeah. So the draft is coming up.
It is. Did you hear that LeBron has unveiled a new shoe that honors Diana Taurasi?
I did not.
It is the Diana Taurasi X Nike LeBron 18, and in quotations, it's called La Cabra, and it honors her Italian and I believe Venezuelan heritage and her accomplishments on the back of the shoe, like around the back of the heel, like not under the heel, but around the back of the heel of the shoe, is writing. And in the article I read, I couldn't exactly see what it says, but it apparently says like, Rookie of the Year and things like that, or whatever her accomplishments have been. So that is being unveiled, going for $200 on specialty apps and specialty sneaker stores this week.
So you'll be purchasing those, correct?
If I had $200, I would absolutely do that.
So that's awesome. And leads us into the WNBA. We'll start with that topic.
Yeah, that makes sense. Good. Great segue.
Great segue.
Good job, Laurie.
Yeah,
great
good job.
Segue
into what?
Into Diana Taurasi is the first WNBA player to reach 9,000 points.
She sure is. Incredible and milestone.
Behind her, the next person has only about 7,500. And the person below that has well below 7,000. So it's going to be a little while before they catch up.
Yeah, she's the only member of the 9,000 club, only member of the 8,000 club, and one of three members of the 7,000 club. So,
And she said, "Yeah, this is great. I'm glad it happened when it did, and everything else, fantastic. You know, it'll be really cool when I hit 10,000. I'll throw myself a party then." So,
that's awesome. And that's her. We talked about her a couple weeks ago from the 144 documentary. She's just like always laser focused, like she's just looking at the next thing.
That's how you get to 9,000.
She is the I'd say pretty universally known as the women's GOAT.
You know,
by far the best scorer ever in the women's game. Yeah.
At, you know, when the Olympic team was announced last week, a number of people were unhappy about people left off and then were grumbling about some people who are on, like Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, feeling mm-hmm. that, you know, they've had their shot, they're old, they don't really need to be there. But the second that Taurasi comes back from her injury, boom, she's right back in the game.
Yeah. And the game that she did it, it was like a 25-point game. It wasn't like she needed three more points. Like, mm-hmm. she had a big game when mm-hmm. doing it, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The WNBA announced that 99% of their players are fully vaccinated, and there have still been no positive COVID tests, COVID outcomes, since the season started. Knock wood, but that continues. As a comparison, the NBA has 75% fully vaccinated, and the MLB, seven of their teams are under 85%, which is, I guess, what's considered for the sports teams, not really herd immunity, but kind of
the threshold for
them. Right, right.
Where there's like relaxed restrictions once you reach that, and yeah.
Right. So, yep, the women are the leaders again.
That's got to be, like, among any profession or any demographic or any group, that's got to be the highest percent, 99%.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't get 99% mm-hmm. of anybody, any other group vaccinated, mm-mm. but they are mm-hmm. all on one page, mm-hmm. so.
They're like superheroes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All-star team was announced. Team WNBA announced. Just announced. A few hours before we started recording.
It's a good-looking team.
It is a good-looking team.
There are some Olympians on this team, although not USA Olympians.
Yes. Yes. So we talked last week about how the it's a different format this year. It's going to be Team USA, literally the Olympic Team USA, All-Stars mm-hmm. versus anybody else who made the All-Star team. And we got the anybody else today. We also uh-huh. Made our predictions last week about who might get on this team.
And out of my 12 predictions, seven of them ended up on the team.
Hell yeah. I mm-hmm. forgot to check, but mm-hmm. I think I got quite a few as well. So this team, I'll just read them off real quick. Duana Bonner, Liz Cambage, I haven't said this person's name out loud before. Mm-hmm. Kalia Cooper? Or Kalia Copper?
It looks like Kalia to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll get that corrected for next time if it is wrong. Mm-hmm. Dierica Hamby, Brianna Jones, Jonquel Jones, Binaja Laney, Arike Ogunbowale, Candace Parker, Satu Sabally, Courtney Vandersloot, and Courtney Williams.
Mm-hmm. Still no Neka Ogwumike.
Yeah. Like I said last time, she has only played five games this year, mm-hmm. so there is reason for that. But
this is Candace Parker's sixth time being on that, also being voted into the All-Star or chosen for the All-Star team.
Uh huh. That's great. Yeah.
Among these women on both Team USA and Team WNBA, there are four aces. Three Sky, three Merc, three Sun, and no Sparks and no Fever.
Yeah, the Fever, I guess, makes sense.
Yeah.
They are pretty terrible this year. Mm-hmm. And the Sparks haven't been great this year either. Their big star is Neka Ogwumike, who mm-hmm. hasn't played enough. But
I did vote for Zowie B many times.
So I'm sure she got a lot higher than she probably would have.
I tried. Commissioner's Cup standing. In the East, we have the Sun and the Sky. In the West, we have the Storm. Kind of similar to the regular standings. The top four are the Storm, the East is the Sun, and the Sky.
Yep. And the Liberty have slipped down to number eight. So they're right on the playoff cusp there.
Yeah, but you know what? Several of the other teams have not played as many games as other teams have.
Yes.
So,
and you
so
know
we'll
who,
see.
You know who's number nine?
No.
Washington Mystics.
Oh, and so that's who's playing this weekend.
Saturday is going to be a big game.
And they just dropped a couple of players.
They did. Because mm-hmm. There was actually...
And haven't added new ones, too.
There was a date of, like, if you have players signed after that deadline, mm-hmm. their contracts are guaranteed for the rest of the year. So you had a lot of cuts being made to, unfortunately, save money. But yeah. We also announced this week, Maya Moore is going to get the Arthur Ashe Award at the ESPYs in a couple of weeks. This is a one of the highest honors in sports that you can get as an athlete, activist, or, you know, social justice person, whatever you want to call them. But she, we've talked about a few times, she left the WNBA in 2019. It's kind of assumed that she's retired now. But to mostly work on the case of overturning the wrongful conviction of a man, Jonathan Irons, which she succeeded in doing and then proceeded to marry that man. She also formed the Win With Justice campaign as part of this, which works to set wrongfully convicted people free and also educates people on the criminal justice system. So she is getting that award. Past recipients of this award have been social justice athlete icons like Muhammad Ali and Billie Jean King. So this is one of the highest honors that you can receive as an athlete activist. So congratulations to her. Anything else? Any other news we got?
That's all I got.
Okay. We're moving on to our second segment of the day, which is our movie review of Double Teamed. Our second DCOM in a row, right?
Yes, it is.
Disney Channel original movie, 2002.
Yeah, it is, yes.
What'd you think, Mom? What was this movie like for you?
This was probably... I'm going to go out on a limb and say this might have been the worst movie I've ever seen.
No.
Yeah.
We have seen worse basketball movies than this
one.
Yes, we have.
No, because there was nothing to this. Other ones were bad, but they were trying to do something. This one was just bad.
So yeah, and tell me about this.
So I'm going to say, I know we always do least and worst, most and least favorite. This isn't a most or a least favorite, but it's that one positive thing that I can say is that this is a Disney Channel original. And I'm sure there are young women out there who aspire to be in the WNBA who there are a lot of mediocre to bad Disney Channel original movies. So why can't this sport have one too?
Wow, the highest compliment there.
Someone said the you know, on a separate note, I can't remember, it might even be in directing and filmmaking, like until it's okay and completely acceptable for there to be mediocre female filmmakers out there, the way it's completely acceptable for there to be mediocre male filmmakers out there, until then, there's no equity. So this is the same thing.
It's the first step in that.
Right?
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the story of twins, Heather and Heidi Burge, who were in high school prior to there being a WNBA.
Yep.
They were volleyball players. Now, this story doesn't 100% follow their story. And so I have a question about a story choice. I'm sure you can't really shed light on it. But what happened is that they went to a private school that didn't have a good basketball team. And so they switched. I mean, they played volleyball. So they switched to a school that did have a volleyball team. And then they ended up playing basketball and excelling in basketball. So I didn't get, it was Palo Verde, I think, Palos Verde High School. So did they have an awesome volleyball team? Is that why they switched to that? Or they just happened to have a volleyball team?
Yeah, I think it was they had a volleyball team. When they were playing volleyball in the beginning, that was like a separate, outside of school. Right, that was
outside, yeah.
So I don't think their original school even had a volleyball team. So I think they were just looking for a school that had one.
I think in real life, they did have a volleyball team in their public high school, and that was Palos Verdes. So they went there. Uh-huh. They didn't live in the fancy part, but they went there. But this storyline had them choosing this school, lying about where they lived to go to this school. So if they could lie about where they lived to go to any school, why not pick a really, really good team school?
Yes. Well, the problem with this story, this was, as you said, it's a real story. These are real twins who did mm-hmm. play basketball professionally. Mm-hmm. But that's the extent of their story. There's nothing really more, like, it's cool mm-hmm. that these twins made, you know, mm-hmm. were able to grow up together and play professional basketball. And that's awesome. But there wasn't anything else. So they had to create more conflict and more struggle mm-hmm. of this whole money situation so that there could be a movie about it.
The girls did apparently fight and argue with each other a lot.
Well, athletes are competitive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They also never played in the WNBA together at the same time. So that was a little fabricated at the end. But it did make a Disney Channel ending of a movie. So I don't hate them for that.
Yeah. It was also
for other things I do, but not for that.
It did show that they were like tipping off against one another, but it was also like a little removed from reality. So it could have been like a representative, they both played in the WNBA kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of notes from me. The president of the drama club would not be at that cool party at that huge house. I know from experience. I just want to put that out there. Because they had to, like, part of the whole money and transferring schools was this whole conflict with the dad, and he was forcing them to do. And, like, the real, I think it was Heidi, wanted to do more theater and maybe volleyball rather than basketball, but then ended up in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So there was truth to that, but I always wonder, like, how the real dad, because I'm sure they, like, met this family and at least talked to them while making this movie. Like, I wonder how the real dad felt about, like, oh, yeah, we're going to kind of, like, make you the villain of the, like, first part of this story.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I just always wonder how that works.
Lasts until she hurts her ankle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's almost the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple more things about the dad for me. The line, it's not my dream, Dad, it's yours. I think this one was actually said by the mom. She said, it's not her dream, Bob, it's yours, or whatever, But that line, I think, is in every sports, like, movie made for children or teens, I think, ever. There's also, I just want to know, like, what's the lesson of this movie? Mm-hmm. Because in the end, the dad, like, after the big game, they win the championship, whatever. The dad is like, I'm sorry about pressuring you guys into doing things that maybe you didn't want to do. And, like, and they were like, it's fine. It worked out. Like, is the lesson, like, listen to your dad's pressure, quit the club you really care about, and go do what he thinks you should do to get into college? Like, is that what the lesson is?
It is. They both ended up in the WNBA, didn't they?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, in real life, I'm not sure if that pressure was there. Like, maybe they just found that naturally.
But in this one, Disney Channel is a channel for kids, but it is run by adults. So, you know, propaganda.
Kids, listen to your parents. They always they always know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
What else from you about this movie?
Oh, until we get to favorite and least favorite, I don't have anything else.
Okay. I just also want to say that last scene of Heather doing that little pump, like the little foot move that they did, which I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's not I don't think it's a very helpful basketball move. But that is a famous scene on TikTok. I didn't know what it was from until I watched this.
It is?
But it's famous because first of all, that ridiculous move, you're like, what's going on? She also, like, the whole thing is, like, she makes this awesome pass, but the pass is terrible. Like, Heidi has to go running into the corner to go get it. And also, when she starts that little toe pump or whatever it's called, she's, like, 4 feet behind the three-point line. And then it cuts to a bunch of, like, close-ups of other people, all while they have 7 seconds on the clock. And she's doing this for maybe 30 straight seconds. And then it cuts back to a wide angle, and she's standing in front of the three-point line. So she somehow scooted her way up.
She danced her way in.
She just traveled all the way up, taking 30 seconds when it should have taken 7, makes a terrible pass, and her sister hits the shot. And it's like, this is the final scene of this movie. So, all right, favorite and least favorite.
Well, my least favorite, and I don't tend to really say negative things about the performers, especially in a movie that was bad and didn't have any good performances in it overall. But the voice of that villain girl, what was her name?
Nikki.
Nikki. What was that? What is she?
I think they voiced her over later. I think that's what it was.
It was like if we were doing the podcast and I was like this. I was like, Jack, did you hear about the vaccine announcement? Like, it was so ridiculous. What was that?
It was a high school basketball player. What?
Oh, my God. It was so awful. So that was my least favorite and my most favorite. So the two actresses who played these roles are not related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They were both about the same height, which is 5'9", which compared to someone like me, who's 5 feet tall, that's a tall woman. But for your whole presence to be when they first arrive at that public school, Palos Verde, whatever it is, people are looking at them with horror because of how tall, right? So my favorite thing is that they had to hire all these young little actors to be small and also do these crazy camera shots to make them look like they were so, as they're not in my words, but like in their classmates' words, like freakishly tall.
Yeah.
You know, these are 5'9" and, you know, standing next to Nikki, who up until then is the best basketball player on the team, she like came up to their elbows almost.
Yeah.
She was probably a very normal, slightly tallish kind of girl in real, you know, if this were a real life thing. And the Heidi and Heather were 6'5".
Uh-huh.
But these actors were 5'9". Yeah. So to get that extra height, sometimes I was distracted by how much I had to really look at, did they stand on something? Is the cameraman laying down on the ground shooting upwards? What is happening? There was so much work they had to go through to depict the tallness.
Yeah, that's right. So those are mine. Yeah, mine I already talked about. My least favorite was the lesson, and my most favorite was the famous TikTok scene. So, mm-hmm. All right, what did you rate this movie?
I'm going to give this movie a 0.5.
Wow. I gave this movie a 3.
No.
Yes, I did.
No. You're wrong.
This movie was better than The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, better than The Wolves, better than the one we watched last week, better than Teen Wolf. Yes. Gave this movie a 3. So what does that average together?
1.75.
Okay. 1.75. Mm-hmm. All right. And we're watching next week what?
Just Right, WRIGHT.
All right.
Which I think is a rom-com.
All right.
And is not a Disney Channel original.
We're going to cut from our...
Yeah, mixing it up.
Cool. All right, so watch Just Right.
There will be more, but for now, that's it.
All right, let's move into our last segment of the day, which is our twin draft. Okay, so we talked about how Heather and Heidi Burge were twins, real twins in real life, who really played in the WNBA. And so pretty simple. We're just each going to, we're drafting. We get 4 picks each. We're picking the best twins in sports.
I want to point out that in researching this, I could not find any twins in professional sports who play different sports.
Yeah. I didn't think about that, but I didn't either. Yeah.
And the other thing I want to point out is all the ones, almost except for one, all of these twins all went to the same college together.
Yeah.
Not like all, like the twin sets
went
to the same colleges. One of them, one of mine, the twin set went to the same college, and then one of them transferred out after a while. So, but other than that, they all went to the same college.
That's what you
and
do.
And a number of them went to Stanford.
That's right. So let's get into it. Do you want first or second pick? Well, snake as usual.
I will second pick.
Okay. I'm going to start with the Bryan brothers of tennis, Bob and Mike.
Dad will be so happy that you started with them.
They have to be my first pick because number one, they play their sport together. Mm-hmm. So that, mm-hmm. you know, that's big. And they're also probably the most accomplished twins of any. So they play doubles tennis together. They are 16 times doubles champs or major double, whatever they
Grand
call it
slam.
In tennis.
Grand slam titles.
Titles. Bob has also won 9 mixed doubles titles. Mm-hmm. And Mike has won 6 mixed doubles titles. And Mike has also won 2 men's doubles titles with a different partner. I'm not sure what happened there, but but a little fight in the family. They also have two bronze medals and a gold medal in the Olympics. So they are,
Something interesting that I found out about them when they were growing up, their parents forbade them from playing each other in tournaments.
They were not
allowed to play each other in a tournament. And if they were slated to play each other in a tournament, one of them had to default. They alternated. I don't know. They alternated who defaulted.
Okay.
So they never, as kids, never played each other in a tournament.
All right.
And they went to Stanford.
And they went to Stanford.
Okay, I'm up next.
You're up next.
Okay, I'm up next. So next, I am going to pick Rondae and Tiki Barber.
Great pick.
From the NFL. Like Bob and Mike, they are identical. I did see something that said, because Rondae's name is Jamail O'Rondae. That's his first and middle name. And he was the firstborn twin. And something said that Jamail O'Rondae means firstborn son.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Yep. So they, Rondae has been Super Bowl championship, 5 times Pro Bowl, rookie of the year in the ACC, Tiki, 3-time Pro Bowl, AAC player of the year and offensive player of the year. And I think they wrote a children's book too. So
they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Barber twins. All right. Mm-hmm. You get your next pick.
Oh, I do. Oh, because we're snaking here. Okay. So then I'm going to go with Kelly and Coco Miller, who played for the WNBA. So they each were voted most improved players earlier in their careers. They're 42 years old now. They no longer play. Kelly won the WNBA championship with the Mercury. It is possible, although just because of the years they played, they may have played on the Dream together in 2010, because it seems like that was a common year, but I couldn't find anything that said that. Like, that to me would be interesting. Someone should have written something about that, but just doing the math, it looks like they may have played together on the Dream together in 2010. So that's my next pick.
Okay, cool. All right, so I get two picks now. So I'm going with the Lopez twins, Brooke and Robin Lopez, of the MNBA. They also went to Stanford together, and they played together on that team. They both have had long, successful careers in the NBA. Brooke a little more successful than Robin. Brooke was an All-Star in 2013. And they played together for 1 year last year in Milwaukee. Brooke is still with Milwaukee, so he is currently playing for them in the playoffs. He just recently had a big block on KD in the last round. They've been just both like good, solid role players throughout their careers. You know, it's just over a decade long, so that is a long and successful career. They also both get extra points for being funny. They're both really funny.
Oh, are they?
They do like fun stuff with mascots. Like Brooke has had a whole thing with the Milwaukee mascot where they like physically fight each other. It's really funny. So they get extra points for that. All right. And then I'm going to go over to the NFL for the McCourties. Devin and Jason McCourty both play on the defensive side. Again, one a little more successful than the other. Devin has been a 2-time Pro Bowler and has won 3 Super Bowls in New England. They both played at Rutgers together. They played together in New England for, I think, 2 seasons. And they're the first set of twins in NFL history to both play in and win a Super Bowl together. And they both played long, successful careers in the league.
And I like them because they bought their mom a house.
Well, I'm not a twin, so that's not expected of me.
Oh, wow. Buy me half a house.
Okay. All right. You're up with your last two picks, right?
Yes. And then what? You have one at the end?
And then I have one at the end, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go with Horace and Harvey Grant from the NBA. Horace has had a little more success, I believe. 4-time NBA champ, All-Star. He's now a special advisor to the president and CEO of the Bulls. Where Harvey has a son named Jeremy Grant who plays with the 76ers.
Currently with the Pistons, but yes.
All right, I wrote that too. was drafted into the 76ers, now is with the Pistons. Interestingly, both, this is the one where they both went to Clemson and then Harvey transferred out and went to Oklahoma. Interesting, they have the same nickname, the General.
I guess that's just, it's just what happens.
Yep. And then my,
yeah.
I get my final one.
Yeah, Horace right? also spilled some piping hot tea on that Michael Jordan documentary. So that was fun.
Yes. You know, I've never watched that documentary.
You should watch it. It is very good.
All right. I'll have to look into that. So I get one more pick?
Last pick.
Okay, I pick Jaren and Jason Collins.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Of the NBA. So Jaren, so they also went to Stanford. Jaren is, as an assistant coach, is a three-time NBA champion. And Jason Collins actually, he's had success. But something that stood out to me was that he came out as gay and then played a season with the Nets after that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was an out basketball player, MNBA player. We know that there are a number of WNBA players who are out and playing, but he was an out NBA player. And something that was interesting to me was that at one point he chose 98 as his number, which was in honor of Matthew Shepard, who was murdered in 1998 through a gay hate crime, which was chronicled in the Laramie Project. So he chose, prior to coming out, I believe, he chose the number 98 as something that was symbolic of that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Great. And then I have my last pick. I'm going to cheat a little here and just give you my honorable mentions. The Morris twins of the NBA. We've talked about them in the past, both in LA currently. Also the Pouncey brothers of the NFL. But I am going with Rachel and Megan Rapinoe. Again, one has had more success than the other, but they played together at the University of Portland. Megan Rapinoe is, of course, very famous. She has, now it's hard because I don't know enough about soccer to know like which accolades are the best and which are not, but I know for sure that she has an Olympic gold medal and two gold medals at World Cups. Including after the 2019 World Cup, she won the Golden Boot, the Golden Ball, and the Best FIFA Player Award. And she's also an incredible activist and has written a book and is a very public figure in American life. And her sister, Rachel, also played professionally over in, I can't remember, a European country, and also played for the women's national under 23 team. Unfortunately, injuries derailed her career, so she is no longer playing. But they both had, you know, I think Megan carries the weight of success for both of them. And Rachel also had a great career as well.
Did you hit all of your twins?
With between our two picks and my honorable mentions, I set everybody on my list.
So I also, I'm not going to describe them, but I have Rex and Rob Ryan on my list. They're coaches, but they are twins who are in sports, but I do have two honorable mentions.
Okay.
So one of them, they are MMA fighters from Brazil.
Okay.
And they both have the same first and last name and they have different middle names. Okay. So one of them's name is Antonio Rogério Nogueira, and the other is Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. They are known as Little Nog and Big Nog.
Very nice.
So I liked that. And then honorable mention, although both of them don't play professionally, I don't know if you know that Sabrina Ionescu has a twin brother named Eddie, who is a senior at Oregon this year.
Oh, I did not know that. Very nice.
So I put them as honorable mentions.
All right, so that is our twin draft.
Mm-hmm. And that's it for episode 27. Send in questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycourtvision@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @FamCourtVision. And don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision,
the mother of all basketball podcasts.